Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
And I've got Ziggy Rodriguez sitting here.
That's me.
And we are...
Oh, that was a very toned down, that's me.
That's me. Well, you know...
I was way toned down.
Well, it's Palm Sunday, guys.
That's right,
it's
exactly
true.
Right.
That's true.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of celebratory, though, to some extent, don't you think?
Well, it starts out that way.
Yeah. That's right.
You're referring to the week. I'm referring to the day.
Yeah, yeah. I know. But was that like a passion play kind of like reference where everything seems great at the beginning, but it doesn't end so well?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're getting into the spirit, into the mood of Palm Sunday. And, you know, as we get closer to the big day, really, the Vigil of Vigils is coming. Certainly, all of the Paschal Triduum, and then I mean, I just love Holy Week as it launches off today. It's so wonderful. And now I love my faith, and I know people who are tuned in love their faith. I love you guys, love your faith. And
love you too, Deacon
Jeff. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I need that. But also, I can't help but think about family, right? Extended family. Because as we get closer to Easter, you know we're going to get people coming back together, and we're all going over to Nana's house, or we're all going over to so-and-so's house, and we're going to have an Easter dinner or whatever, and the kids are going to they're going to look for Easter eggs. And there's a family element to this. And, of course, hopefully, most people are going to Mass, and that kind of leads me to where we were gonna kind of focus today. Because as Holy Week, we usually talk about the week, or we talk about some theological aspect of Easter or the resurrection, the passion, the suffering, the death of Jesus, and all these things that are important to our faith. But we don't often talk about our families.
Right. So where he's going with this, ladies and gentlemen, is we were talking about what to do with the show. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do, Sam. And I said, I know what we need to talk about. We need to talk about our kids.
I feel like you're like you're putting some thumb pressure on
me. Did I just roll the bus right over you?
Right over me. In fact,
yeah. That's never happened to me.
And then, you know, that revenge is not a good, it's not a holy thing.
That's what this is.
You're doing good. You deserve your moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a moment of silence.
That was your original idea, actually.
That was my original
30-minute-long moment of silence.
Yes, for Tom and his hair. No,
we actually were talking about loving our kids. And
well, you know, you had an interesting... I'll just say you had an interesting mention to me about in terms of like loving them. It wasn't so much just like, well, because we all love our kids.
We do.
But you were talking about praying for them and how your prayer might have changed.
Yeah. So our family is probably like a lot of families out there. We've got kids that have kind of drifted from the church, not kind of drifted, have drifted from the church. And there are various levels in their faith journey, which I get all that. I'm the same way. And my personal prayer has evolved from, you know, God, will you change them? Will you make them do this, make them do that in terms of their faith?
Lord, crack those knuckleheaded kids over there. Let them see the light.
Grab them by the scruff of their neck and just shake.
Yeah.
And it's evolved from, you know what, will you just help me let them know that how much they're loved? And where that comes from is I think in order to have conversion, I think you need to know, first of all, that you're really loved.
Yeah.
Unconditional love. And so that's how this whole thing began, really.
You know, that's an awesome concept. Let them know that they're loved. And, I know I've caught myself, because believe it or not, I've got, with 9 kids, I've got some that are in different faith journey situations.
Yeah.
You know, you know who you are, and they're not listening. So one day they will listen.
And our journeys too, in fairness to them, they were kind of wonky.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're normal. We're normal. They're normal.
Everybody's normal in this situation. But as a parent, you have a unique relationship, or I suppose, Sam, not being a parent, anybody that you
and never having you, a wonky journey.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's
wait, you guys sinned before?
Yeah. As you're wonky too. Yes, we're all
I'm
wonky.
Very wonky.
But at the end of the day,
that needs to be the title of the show.
There are people
wonky.
There are people that you love dearly. We all have these people who we do anything for. You've got family. I mean, we all have that. Maybe you don't have kids, but as a parent, you feel this special responsibility for your children that, like, you've got to focus. I mean, I know Bess is listening. Hi, Bess, to this and thinking about, I gave this up for this particular child. I do this every single day for this particular child. I pray this litany or this rosary or this whatever for this particular child, and because we feel that that connection uniquely as a parent, but it really can extend to anyone in your family, that or anybody that in your orbit that you just you care so much about, and I love how you have, I guess, admitted or just said that, like, your prayer has changed. Because how many times have I thought to myself, like, why can't they see things the way I see them?
Right. Exactly.
Why can't they think like I think? Why can't they just adhere to the church's teachings? Why can they not? It's just so reasonable to me that the church would teach this way, right? And I can accept it. So they need to accept it. They need to understand whether it's the rules or the theology behind it, or really the sound reasoning that the church has for all of her teachings.
Kind of turns into a right versus wrong.
Exactly. They're wrong, I'm right, and I want them to think like me.
Right.
Right? And we can fall into that trap so
easily.
Yep. And I've done it many, many times in my life.
Still do.
And so then when you said, like, hey, can we just talk about praying for our kids?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, I pray for my kids every single day, every one of them, you know, by name. And it's like,
you know, part of the reason I do this show is just because I'm hoping, you know, that my kids don't listen to this show, which to me, if my dads are on a show, I'm going to listen to it just to, you know, listen to what's going on out there and what he thinks. If they don't listen to the show. What I'm hoping is someday when we're dead, that they go, you know what, we should go back and listen to the show. Yeah. And they hear this and they're like, oh, wow. Man, this is something we should have talked about back then.
You know? Yeah, and then you'll be
and able maybe to... Maybe that affects a change for the positive.
That's your revenge again? Is that what
no,
you said?
No, never revenge on that. No.
100% agree. No, I do think that... I agree with you.
But also, I think you and I do it too. Or I think we do it also, not just for our own children, but for everybody's kids, you know?
Yeah.
Even our enemies, don't you
well,
think?
Well, I don't know that. In fact, I'm pretty sure my kids don't listen. And honestly, well, heck, they never listen to me. I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure they don't listen. I have maybe one that kind of does, but every once in a while. But like you, I do this in hopes that one day they will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't ever want to say anything about them that I'd be like, I wish I hadn't said that about them. Like, so I don't want to embarrass them now, even though they're not listening.
Yeah, well, no, we're not doing it to embarrass them.
No. But my point is, I'm very watchful and careful about what I say about them because I think that one day they will. I think that one day they'll hear. I mean, we're recording, this is episode 813.
Wow.
Of this show. We've been going for over 15 years doing the Catholic Cafe. We were on the initial wave of podcasts.
Yeah.
We've been around
podcasting before podcasting was cool.
Exactly. and we're still not cool though. That's the problem. We haven't figured out the cool thing. But we've been doing this forever.
Nerds.
But the whole point is at some point in time they're gonna see that I think they're gonna see this body of work and go like because could you imagine, like, you know, when you've got a family member, when you've got a parent that's passed away,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of us have had that experience.
Oh, yeah.
And then you kind of wish that there was some way that you could, like...
pick up the phone.
Yeah. Or
talk to them.
Hear their voice.
Yes.
And this is going to be way better than finding a trove of letters.
Yeah,
it's gonna be it's gonna be our voices, you know.
Well, and I think, you know, it's not unusual because I've heard
I've heard people who give interviews, you know, these are people not really in the podcast sphere, but people who are in various forms of media, musicians and actors. And I've heard people say it's hard for them to listen to themselves or watch themselves, and for family members to also, listen to, like, their music or watch, you know, the TV show that they're on or the movie, because it's just kind of weird, you right. know? And so I think it makes sense, you know? I think it's probably pretty common.
Totally get
you
that.
You know, it's not something specific to us. It's probably common also within the podcast world as well.
Totally see that.
Yeah, so I want to go back to what you were at the beginning when you were talking about why this might be a good topic for a show, because I think there's a lot of folks that have kids or loved ones that are in this situation where mm-hmm. we wish they were thinking like we are, mm-hmm. and that's really not the wish, because to get right to the heart of it is we wish they could know that they were loved unconditionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, for them to know it actually has to be true.
Right.
So there's a challenge to each one of us to actually love them unconditionally.
Right.
So this is why I think you'd mentioned, like, when you started talking about unconditional love, I'm thinking, like, this is why it's so perfect that as Catholics, especially at Easter time, the passion and death of Jesus is the
ultimate unconditional love.
Unconditional love. You look at the cross and you go, like, that's unconditional love.
Because he died for all.
100%. Well, and he
even
gave
the ones
all.
Who were put him to death.
But he gave all.
Right.
In a gruesome, horrible way. And this is exactly why Christians shouldn't take Jesus off the cross.
Right.
When we're in a worship context, we need to be reminded every time we look at Jesus what he did for us.
Yeah, that's what and love that, looks like.
Exactly right. And that's why, you know, John 3:16 on a sign at a football game is one thing, but John 3:16 on the back wall of the church where you're worshiping is a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. It's a fuller understanding of unconditional love. And so that's why I was sitting there thinking, like, well, what can we do as parents? We can pray for our kids, but we need to pray that they know that they're loved.
Right.
That really should be our prayer, not like that little Johnny or Janie or whoever is going to come back to the church. Mm-hmm. Really, the goal is not to get them back to the church. Mm-hmm. Their goal is to get them to know that they're loved. And once they know that they're loved unconditionally by you as the parent or the friend, or the, you know, the sibling or whatever.
Yeah, then they might be able to make the leap.
Yes.
To God.
Eventually they're going to get there because right. They're going to want to be in the place where unconditional love is recognized
that's
and appreciated.
Prayer.
Yeah. So that's really it. So it's not good, though. You can't do the little, Lord, I just pray that they know I love them, wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what I mean? They need to think like I do. You really need to get to the point where you fully grasp and understand unconditional love, because I'll go back to that my ultimate Latin bumper sticker I want to create sometime that says nemo dot quod non habet. You cannot give what you do not have. If you want your kids to understand unconditional love, the love of Jesus unconditionally, if you want them to understand that, you need to love them in that way. They need to understand that through you, and that's the only place they're really going to understand it. Or it should be, I'll say this, it has pride of place. It should be the first place that they experience unconditional love.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded of something Matthew Kelly said many years ago, that he said that in our culture there's a real problem that interferes with our ability to love, because there's this lie in our culture that love is all about understanding. And he's like, you know, I get why people say that, but that creates a barrier to love, because it makes it, well, I'll love you when I can understand you, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, really, love has to be about acceptance. And you know, does that mean that we don't give feedback to people that we love, you know, and don't have moments of tough love where we have to kind of let them know, hey, we think this decision or that decision is not for your good,
yeah.
right? But at the end of the day, are we going to balance that by letting them know that, but no matter what, it's impossible for you to change my heart for you. I love you because it is God loving you through me.
Yeah, and that goes back to the core of what happens at families at Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, birthdays, anniversaries, every time you gather together. You end up somewhere on this continuum of disagreement, tolerance, acceptance, and agreement. And everybody is trying to get everybody to agree with them, right? Everyone wants everybody over all the way on the far right with the needle pinned to the right. But when we do that, we actually end up forcing the needle to the left to disagreement, and well, let's just agree to disagree, you know, and you end up fighting, and then that blur between tolerance and acceptance, right? We tolerate some things, but we shouldn't accept things that are bad, but you know, that are immoral or whatever. But we have to understand that people are in those places. Our family members, the ones we love, are in those places that we don't agree with. And maybe the church, and maybe we're right and they're wrong. That may be the case, but you cannot start there. I mean, it's just so far it hadn't worked. And honestly, I just think about the family situations that we've had at our house where it can get tense real quick. I'm sure you guys have had the same experiences, and I'm sure everyone listening right now, you know, goes like, yeah, it never goes well because whatever. So we can't talk this, we can't talk about that, we can't talk about that. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably better if we don't talk about those things. So what do we talk about? Well, we talk about each other. We talk about how much, we talk about memories, we talk about things that we love, things that are good, things that are holy. And there's another aspect to this, I think, that's positive that we can do. Like, what can you do in this situation? I was thinking about, like, well, usually most of these, call them holidays, with the exception of birthdays and like anniversaries. But all the major holidays for me are going to have some kind of religious context to them, right? And so we got Easter coming up, and that's bring the family together. So, hey, we're going to Mass. You know, we always go to Mass. Well, you know, I'm not really into that. No. You know, you start to hear that kind of thing. It's like, hey, come on, just come on. Just come on with us. You know, you need to be in a relationship where you can do that, and they go and don't feel. Now, how do you get into that relationship, and how do you do that? You don't say a word. Like, you don't say, you need to go to Mass, or I want to get you to come back to Mass, as if Mass is going to be the attractant. Because I hate to, you know what, I hate to tell people this, but it's true. So I guess maybe I don't hate telling them. We need to hear this. Mass is not attractive to people that don't want to go to Mass.
Right.
It is not attractive to people that don't believe this. It is not attractive, and they don't want to be told they need this, that it's medicinal, that they, or they need to be in compliance, or they need to be whatever, and they need to follow the rules. That's not going to do it. It's not attractive. And this is why people who keep trying to make Mass attractive, you're going down the wrong road.
Right.
There's just that dog won't hunt. I don't know what expression I need to use here, but it's like kids aren't going to go to Mass and suddenly go like, hey man, that was awesome. They were playing like Frank Sinatra music, you know, or the Avett brothers or the Mumford and Sons was doing Mass. That's not ever going
to
happen.
Well, I mean, the church has tried to do things to make the liturgy quote attractive and have like a popular appeal. And, you know, it has stuck with a couple of generations and a couple of people here and there. But there's a lot of people who go to that and be like, ah, this doesn't really feel like church to me.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's where I would look at the – also, I would look at the word you just used, popular.
Yeah.
You know, and I think popular is not bad. Popular is good because what that means is popular is the populace, everybody, majority of people like it. It's good. It's popular. There's nothing wrong because there was this time where people go like, oh, you like that band? I only like indie bands that people have never heard of. Yeah. And as soon as people hear of them, I abandon them and go to the next indie band that no one's ever heard of because I like things that people don't like. It's like, okay, that's weird. Okay, that I look at that and go, that doesn't make any sense to me. Popular is good, but the thing is you can't make Mass popular. It's not supposed to – okay, let me back up. What makes Mass attractive? What makes Mass attractive for, I think, for those who genuinely understand what's happening at Mass, it's not the things that people think are going to be attractants. In other words, it's not going to be the music per se. We need something more modern. We need something more whatever. That's not what's going to be attractive. I mean, it may have this like passing fancy. I recently watched Sister Act, that movie with Whoopi Goldberg. Not a big fan of Whoopi Goldberg these days, but I'll just say I liked that movie when it came out. And I was watching that movie, and there was things that I liked about that movie, back when I first saw it that I look at now and go, like, that is so empty and vapid. That if you have a lounge singer suddenly getting those nuns to sing in a popular style, it's going to attract the kids off the streets with the nose piercings, you know, and the funny hair. They're going to all come in the streets, and all of a sudden they're going to want to hear this message. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's never worked. And it's been a 50-year failed experiment in the Catholic Church now. It's like, what is attractive? And what I think, it goes back to where this long little soapbox diatribe I'm on right now is back to what, Tom, you said at the very beginning. They just need to know we love them.
Right.
People just need to know that they're loved for who they are and where they are, not the perfect them, not the eventual them, not the potential them, that who they are right now in this, in their brokenness or in our brokenness, where everything sits right now, there is unconditional love. That Jesus died for everybody. Now, that's the leap they have to make based on them knowing me.
And once they get that, then you can invite them
and
to
Mass. And it's going to be attractive. Now, I don't I don't think it's wrong to take them to Mass now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea. But what I think is, go to Mass, but you don't say a word about Mass. Mm-hmm. You don't do the weird thing where it's like, so what did you think?
Right.
What did you think about what Father said? Do you know that was an interesting line he said when he said such and such. It's like, can we just eat our breakfast? Can we just, do I really need to hear? I don't need a second homily, right. You know?
Well, the other thing is, you know, we know from the, I think it's the second letter of John where he says, we love because he loved us first, right? I kind of think of that line as being sort of the spiritual ground zero for all of us. You know, we always have to be in touch with, kind of goes back to what you say, you cannot give what you don't have. Like, we love because he loved us first. You can't pour out what hasn't been poured into you, right? And if we're not letting ourselves be loved, we're not going to be equipped to love others, right? And at the end of the day, you know, the first, you know, we've talked about the family and the church domestic and its relationship to the church universal because it's sort of that laboratory of love where people first come to experience love in the flesh,
yeah.
Right? And that is how God who is love itself, his desire was for us to experience love in the flesh. That's why he who is love took on flesh, right? And he desires to continue that incarnation through us that we might become love in the flesh by and through his grace in cooperation with him for the bit, not so we can like stand on top of some pedestal and say, look how holy I am, but so that,
or look how right I am,
or how right I am. It isn't about us.
Yeah.
We, it is for, he is pouring into us to pour out to others for the good of others. And if we let ourselves be the end point of that love, that's going to be an end of your capacity to be a vessel, right?
And you'll be in the same exact place with your kids, with your family. There'll be no progress.
I think the only other big challenge to add to all this is try to figure out how they want to be loved. You know what I mean? Everybody's love feels loved differently.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the five love languages. I don't know if we're allowed to bring that, something like that, up in the show, but Everybody.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah, everybody feels love differently. I mean,
I'm a gift giver.
Think about your kids, Deej.
Yeah,
I've got five, and I promise you, all five of them are radically different from each of them.
Right, what they need, and you know that as their dad, you do know some of those things.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least if you're not fully aware, you need to start to search yourself and go like, what is that kid looking for?
Right,
right, and then try to give them what you can give them in that way. Mm-hmm. And I will say that in all this stuff, you're exactly right. Knowing that they're all going to be different, there's not going to be one panacea, there's not going to be one simple cure that if we do this, but except for this, I'll disagree in this way and say there is one simple cure, and it's actually God's, you know, unconditional love through you.
Yeah.
Right. That is actually the cure, but how they receive it, what they're ready for, where they are in this journey, whether they're in a trusting relationship with you or not. Mm-hmm. And so our first prayer for our kids really does not need to be even that they experience love or know that they're loved.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a prayer for your kids about yourself.
Yep. Perfect.
You know, God, help me to be a better dad, a more loving dad, a more welcoming dad, a more trust a trusted dad, mm-hmm. not trusting, but a trusted, mm-hmm. where they don't look at me like he's just trying to convert me to get me to be this or do that or this thing, where they don't see it as a manipulation. They just see it as like, look, I know he loves me. That has really worked with my kids.
Right.
Where we were sideways with a couple of the kids, mm-hmm. For whatever reason. And at the end of the day, it's like, I don't think we're sideways with any of them. Mm-hmm. They don't all agree with me at all. Trust mm-hmm. me. I know that. But at the end of the day, I think they all trust me that I would die for each and every one of them.
Well, and forgiveness is huge as well. And if anyone listening has any sort of resentment from the past, any baggage with their kids, go to confession, because at the end of the day, that's not going to help. You got to get off that stuff up and let God set you free from that so that you can love.
And then also just focus on the domestic church. If you can't get them into the church, the domestic church is where you go first anyway. That is actually the first church, mm-hmm. the home church, where you are father and mother that love each other. They see that unconditional love between the two of you, and they're going to be attracted to that. They're going to want that, even if they don't agree and say it. And the thing is, so it's not about inviting them to Mass. It's essentially inviting them into a relationship of love, which hopefully that they'll draw that connection, as you said, draw the lines and go like, wait, this is that Jesus thing again.
Right.
Wow, I just realized that, how powerful that can be. And so that maybe is our prayer for a resurrection, mm-hmm. As we get closer to Easter, as we enjoy this Holy Week, as we prepare for Easter Sunday, that each one of us will have a resurrection in our love lives with our children, mm-hmm. And those that we care about, that we pray for them, that we get them into a relationship with us of unconditional love.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.